Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
Today's gospel is about the parable of the dishonest steward. Now, Jesus used parables as a metaphor for the spiritual life. Now, we all know these parables are odd stories. They're filled with twists and turns, and the ending is something that we never could imagine. Now, it's interesting. The primary way of Jesus' teaching was by parables. And so Jesus, I think, did this for many reasons. One way was because of he needed to shock us out of the way we think about this world and the way we see it. I'll give you a good example of this. Just look about 2 weeks ago. Remember Jesus, he's talking about what we need to be a follower of his. He tells us that we have to hate our father, our mother, our spouse, our children, even ourselves, if we are to follow him. Well, that's essentially shock therapy. And Jesus uses that from time to time. See, Jesus knows that we are all tainted by sin. And sin essentially skews the will and it darkens the mind. And Jesus knows that. Therefore, sometimes he has to shock us out of that in order for us to understand his teaching. Now, turn to this gospel. Thomas Aquinas once said, "The soul is the substantial form of the human being." Well, what does he mean by that? Well, our identity comes from our soul, that interior disposition given to us by God. Our identity does not come from our bodies or our possessions. No, it's the soul. And it's the soul that links us to God and beyond this world. Therefore, Thomas Aquinas would say we have to constantly be tending to the condition of our soul. And I think that's exactly what this parable is all about and what Jesus is trying to teach us. Now, notice how it begins. We find out that the steward is in charge of his master's business and the money. You could say he's kind of like a modern-day bookkeeper. And we find out that essentially he's caught with his hand in the till. He's stealing from his master. Well, the master finds out, he catches him, and essentially he fires him immediately. Well, the steward panics, right? Well, he should, because in the first century in Palestine, there are no social safety nets that we have here in the 21st century in the United States. You know, when he's fired, he can't file for unemployment insurance or welfare or food stamps. He can't file for Social Security or Medicare or Medicaid. There was none of that stuff in the first century. Essentially, this person is going to be kicked out, you know, to live in the streets. So he knows his situation is very dire. Now, notice what he does next. He in some ways makes an assessment of himself. He says, "I'm not strong enough to dig and I'm ashamed to beg." And so we hear the desperation in his voice. He has a good idea of his prospects and they're pretty bad. Now realize too, he's living in a small town. Now any of us who've ever lived in a small town before know that whether you like it or not, everybody knows, you know, everything about you, whether you like it or not. And so everybody knows he's been fired, and he's been fired because he's stealing. He's a thief. So he has no chances of ever becoming a bookkeeper again or running a business. The only prospects he have are like menial labor, and he knows that. And so he acts. He brings in one debtor after another, and he begins cooking the books again, cheating his master for a second time, for the express purpose of trying to buy friends from these debtors. Now, it's a sleazy way of doing it. But notice what he's really doing. He's compounding immorality with more immorality for his own benefits, so that when he is now homeless and without a job, hopefully these people will give him a favor as he is doing them. Well, notice at the very end of the story, the master finds out what the steward is doing, and he's happy about it. It says, the master commended the dishonest steward for acting prudently. Well, this man's a scoundrel. He's a thief. He's been cheating his master, and he's done it twice, and the master admires him? Well, that's ridiculous. And he admires him because he's clever and resourceful with his master's own money. So it doesn't make any sense. So what are we to make of this? Well, realize, over the past several weeks, we have been reading from chapter 14 from Luke's Gospel. And Jesus is telling us everything that we need to know and have in our life to be his faithful followers. Remember what Jesus said just a few weeks ago. You know, let go of your possessions. You know, be indifferent to them. Detach yourself and find your treasure in heaven. Now, it appears that Jesus approves of this dishonest steward, the man that clings to wealth in an immoral way. But it doesn't make any sense. Well, here's what we can take from this. Throughout the Gospels, all four of the Gospels, they speak to us about being prepared, that God demands a decision from us. We have to decide every day when we wake up in the morning, what are we going to decide? Are we going to be for Jesus to follow him, or we're not going to follow him? See, that's what God demands every day of our life. Will we follow him this day? You know, abiding by his teaching, you know, living the virtuous life, or are we not going to follow him and abandon all those things? God demands that of us. See, Jesus is throwing light on the spiritual dynamics again of what it means to be a true and genuine follower of Christ. And so let's go back into the story. There are a number of things that we can take from this to apply in our own life. First, the man clearly perceives his situation. You know, he doesn't deny it, and he doesn't blame others for what has happened. He's in serious trouble, and he knows it. And so it awakens a crisis in his life. Now, it's interesting that word crisis, it comes from the Latin word krisos, which also means decision. And so Jesus demands a decision from us every day. Will you follow me or will you not? That's what God demands every day of our life, to be a follower of his. If you look at all four of the Gospels, when Jesus begins his ministry, he predominantly says the exact same thing. The time is now. Repent, which means change. Believe in the good news. And so Jesus repeats this over and over again in his Gospels. Spiritually speaking, what is Jesus saying? Jesus is making himself available to us. The choice is up to us. We have to wake up to our spiritual state and recognize, clearly perceive our situation. Are we doing well in the spiritual life? Do we need help? Are some things in our life that we need to change? Thomas Aquinas once said, the greatest sin is sloth. Yeah, sloth. Now, most people say the greatest sin is pride, in which the person's ego is so great it eclipses the presence of God in their life. But Aquinas would argue, no, sloth is. Sloth is what? It's really antipathy. You don't care about anything. It's complete complacency. You don't care about your own spiritual health. And that's very dangerous. Because if you have no care at all for your spiritual health or your spiritual situation or the situation of your soul, guess what? You're not going to be able to see some things that you need to change in your life and act upon it in order to be closer to God. And yes, that is dangerous. Look at the 12-step process. If you look at that, for any addiction, whether it's food, or drug, or alcohol, gambling, you know, people don't wake up. They don't wake up to that they have a problem until they reach or hit bottom. When they've hit that crisis point, then they realize, I've got a problem. They see their situation very clearly then. Well, that's the first lesson we can take from this. We have to clearly perceive our situation. Now, the second thing that we can take from this story. So the man clearly perceives his situation. It's in dire straits. Now, he makes a clear assessment of himself. He says, you know, I'm too old to dig and I'm too proud to beg. So he admits he's weak physically and spiritually. Well, in a crisis, it compels us to be brutally honest with ourselves. You know, there's no room for self-deception. See, this is what Jesus admires. This man has an honest self-assessment of what he needs to do to change. Well, so too with us. When we've clearly perceived our situation, then we have to take an honest look at our life and see what we need to change. Some things that we need to start doing, and maybe some things that we should get out of our life in order to be spiritually strong and closer connected to God. Now, the last thing, the man essentially, he knows he's in a crisis. He assesses his life. He knows what to do to change. The third thing that we can take from this, he acts, and he acts decisively. And now, granted, he acts immorally, sure, albeit in a ruthless way. And Jesus is not commending that, no. But what he admires, the man acts. He sees his crisis, he knows what needs to be changed in his life, and he acts upon it decisively. One of the reasons why so many people, their spiritual life never gets off the ground, is because they know what to change in their life and they don't act upon it. They say, well, you know, I'm just too busy this week, maybe next week. Or I've got so many things on my plate, maybe next year. And they put it off and put it off, and guess what? They never act. And that is one of the spiritual dangers. But they can't be for us. We have to look at our life, perceive our situation, and then assess our life. Am I really the person that God created me to be? Or maybe I'm not where I want to be. And therefore, I need to do these things. I need to pray more. I need to do the corporal and spiritual works of mercy more. Well, good. Now that you know what to do, what to change, now act upon it decisively. You know, start praying every day. Start living out the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. You know, start living the virtuous life. If those are the things that you need to do, then act decisively. And see, decisive action is the end result of the awakening of the spiritual state of our being, the being of our soul. And I think that comes to the heart of what Jesus is trying to teach us this weekend. And may the grace and the peace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.